Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at Deloitte.com/US/engineering advantage.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Greetings, mobile accomplishers. Welcome to The Vergecast. My name is Dieter Bohn, and you are listening to our special series of topic-specific Tuesday episodes. This week, the topic is Eero, and that's because we are bringing you an interview that Nilay Patel and I did with the CEO of Eero, Nick Weaver. We held this interview back at our 10-year anniversary party conference festival thing called On the Verge in New York City. It was a ton of fun. It was a huge blast, and so we're happy to bring some of the things that happened at this event to you if you couldn't make it out to the party. But if you could, thanks so much for coming. It was great to see you. Anyway, with this interview with Nick, I want you to pay special attention to the pieces where we begin to talk about Thread and Matter. So Thread, if you're not familiar with it, is a kind of radio for smart home devices that Eero in particular, but a lot of people in general have been hyping for several years now, but never seems to amount to anything. But it seems like it's actually about to become super important. And it's about to become super important because there is another smart home standard called Matter, which is the standard that used to be known as connected home over IP, or you could have called it the chip, or yeah, you could call it CHOIP if you wanted to be a weirdo like me. Anyway, it's the standard that's supposed to make smart home gadgets all talk to each other. And Eero's whole jam is connecting things in your home. They make Wi-Fi routers, and they also now make a version of Eero that connects up to a Ring Pro and can actually provide backup internet over LTE for when your internet goes down. So we discuss all of these things, but the reason I'm bringing up Matter and Thread in particular is because in a couple of weeks after we get through the holiday break, we're going to bring you one last topic-specific episode on Tuesday that will be all about Matter. We're going to get to the bottom of whether or not the hype is real and what's going on with it. But in the meantime, there's a lot of really interesting things here with Nick, and so I hope you enjoy.
I like this foreboding distance that we have.
I know, you got it's both like, of you over there.
What's going to happen to Nick?
Let's find you tell me.
There's actually a bucket of water, you know, just if you answer a question.
Slime machine?
Off. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So I actually want to start with the new product that you made, Amazon made?
Ring made?
There's
we
a
made
ring,
together.
Yeah, there's a Ring Alarm Pro, and if you're not familiar, one of the cool things about it is it has Eero built in. And how did that happen? Did you make it? Did they call you and ask you? Like, what happened there?
Well, we really just started with what are the problems that people are trying to solve in their home. And when you have a camera, Wi-Fi is really important. So the whole premise there was how can we make things as easy as possible for customers, make it easy to set up, make sure you've got super reliable Wi-Fi so your cameras stay connected, and integrate it all into one device.
So it makes perfect sense to put Wi-Fi into a device like Ring. But again, like, did they ask you? Are you all in the room all the time? Are you all just one big company now, or phone call? How does that work?
Phone call, meeting. We all know how to reach each other.
Yeah, okay.
And just a lot of it starts with thinking about what problems we're hearing from customers and deciding if we want to go work on a solution together or independently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flexibility.
Well, I mean, I look at all the smart home gadgets now in my house, and I think, well, that should have Wi-Fi. That should be a router. Like, why Ring and not an Echo?
I think there, with Echo devices, you've got them everywhere in the house. There's a lot of places where you want a voice assistant that doesn't necessarily have the best Wi-Fi coverage. there's a lot of places where you need great Wi-Fi coverage. It's not a great place for a voice assistant. So, you know, for instance, there's a lot of routers in people's closets. That's where the internet comes in. Not a good place for a voice assistant. So a lot of the thinking is, hey, where can we converge devices where it makes sense for customers? And putting it into a, you know, fully comprehensive alarm base station makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but like an Echo in your kitchen is a great place for a router.
It could be.
Will it be?
You know, we've looked at everything. And you know, in the future, who knows? It might make sense to converge more of those devices than we have in the past.
The other genius thing about the Ring Alarm Pro is that it has a backup LTE modem. So if your internet goes out, you can have a backup internet. I forget exactly how much you get over LTE for a little while so that you're not just knocked offline. Why LTE and not 5G?
When we're looking at what's required for an alarm system, LTE provides just just enough connectivity that you need. You know, this is not really supposed to be your high-speed primary internet connection. We want you to be able to stay online. And then with 5G still evolving, and depending on what flavor of 5G, sometimes it doesn't get through walls particularly well.
Oh boy.
And so that was one of the considerations that went into that product decision specifically.
But there are some flavors of 5G that, like millimeter wave doesn't go through walls. But also, like, I don't think a lot of people are setting up Ring camera systems under like one streetlight in New York City. It's like just like you holding your floodlight cam. I get the just enough argument, but there's another argument that you would want to fail over to 5G when your internet goes down, and that would be really fast. There are the home internet services from the providers. Do you see that as a viable path?
I think when we look at the performance and reliability of Eero networks just across the US, across the globe, there is a subset of customers where failover could and would be really valuable. So it's certainly something we've been exploring. You know, a lot of it comes down to the amount of data you're going to use. Cellular is fairly expensive. And, you know, in particular with 5G, it's super fast speeds. You can consume a lot of data really quickly. And the cost per gigabyte is still fairly high.
Okay, so if we're talking about 5G, I think our audience knows that 5G is a race. And we're winning. We've lost. Do you feel like you're in a race with 5G? Because like the claim has been, well, we're not going to need Wi-Fi anymore. Everything's going to have 5G. It'll be great.
Yeah, I think 5G and Wi-Fi are really great complementary technologies.
Okay.
Cost of cellular is really expensive. Cost of 5G is very expensive. We're talking not one, but frequently two orders of magnitude more in terms of putting a Wi-Fi chipset into a device versus a 5G modem. And so 5G is great for coming into the home, but for getting it to all the devices around your house, paying that cost on a per device basis just doesn't make sense. You also, you miss out on having, your own local network. That's, one of the great things about running your own network. You get a firewall, you can set rules, you can keep your devices safe and secure, and you lose a lot of that control and capability if it's all connecting directly to a cellular network.
Right, so you don't feel any competition at all from 5G?
I think, again, it's a really great complementary
technology.
Is anyone
feeling anything at all from 5G?
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
I mean, that's like kind of the big question is, yep, I get it. You need a fast connection to your house. They need to redistribute it to all the things in your house. Are you seeing a higher attach rate of like T-Mobile at home 5G or Verizon has a fixed service in like Texas? Are you seeing those numbers tick up versus straight cable?
I think the biggest trend we are seeing is just people are upgrading to gigabit in droves. They want gigabit. They want faster than gigabit. A lot of people are sitting at home doing everything, school, work, entertainment, and they just want more speed, more bandwidth to do all the things they need to do from home. So we've just seen really, really, significant adoption of gigabit internet, and that trend is not slowing down.
Actually, here's a weird one. I have gigabit internet, and it sucks.
Because we're going to fix Dieter's network right now.
My download speeds are okay. My upload speeds are garbage, and that's very common in the U.S., mm-hmm. Especially with cable. When you're designing routers, are you designing for an idealized world where we all have actually good internet from good companies, or are you designing it with the realities of what you think customers are actually going to be able to do?
When we're designing our products, it's being designed independent of your internet connection. We are just trying to make our radios, our RF performance as high quality as we possibly can. We want it to be as reliable as it can, and we want to hit the highest, you know, bandwidth metrics that's possible with that design. And so if you hook it up to a symmetric gigabit connection, great. If you hook it up to a gigabit connection with 10 megabits up, you know, you're not going to see great upload speeds because you're limited by the pipe coming into your home. But the Eero network is going to perform as well as we possibly can make it.
Right.
With gigabit, one of the, right, you need Wi-Fi 6 to really take advantage of gigabit. Now there's 6E. It's great. The names are great. We're very proud of the whole industry constantly.
It's improving.
That's a low floor, man. we've noticed the Wi-Fi 6 products are just still wildly expensive. It's been like a year and a half, maybe more. There's just a cost penalty for this stuff. Is that because there's not enough? They haven't hit scale? Why that cost penalty?
It's just a transition. And everybody's been hearing about this for months and months and months. The supply chain's also backed up, and things are a lot more expensive. Chips are more expensive, labor's more expensive, shipping is more expensive.
Is there like a cargo ship that's just like full of Eeros, just like floating around the ocean right now?
There's probably a few of them at this point.
Is that something that you pay attention to as a CEO? Like, do you get a report that's like, we actually can't, we're waiting for a container to unload with product?
I have spent more time on the phone with our head of manufacturing operations in the last year and a half than I think we had in the last 3 years or 4 years before that. It has consumed a lot of time and energy, and you know, our teams have been just working around the clock. You know, you fix one problem, another one pops up. It's a huge, huge game of whack-a-mole. And in particular, getting product to customers, like, that is something, yeah, I'm really involved in.
So that actually surprises me, because I would assume, if you guys don't know, Eero was bought by Amazon, that you've got Amazon, who's pretty good at logistics. I would think that you could let them handle that. So, like, what is Amazon doing in terms of, you know, working with customers? I'm sure they're handling a bunch of, like, HR and corporate stuff for you, but, like, what's your relationship with Amazon? Like, there's a ring over there, you worked with them, but what do they do? What are you still, like, no, this is mine, I will always control this part of the business?
Yeah, so we handle, you know, all the product development, support, and we've got our own dedicated teams for nearly every function that runs the company. In terms of how do we leverage the greater Amazon? Well, there, a lot of it's relationships, capacity, thinking about like long-term inventory and really being able to make sure we have enough stock for customers. That's been places where we've leveraged the greater team a lot. Then there's also strategic planning. You know, what sub-suppliers can we work with together and really aggregate, you know, the demand of radios or memory or other parts of the supply chain, so we get, you know, better scale, better support, and can deliver just better products for customers. So we've done a lot of that. But yeah, Amazon's very much about single-threaded ownership, and you know, that's my responsibility at Eero, keep driving the company, keep driving the product portfolio, keep building great, great devices for customers.
Do you ever get on the phone with like the Prime Video team and you're like, dude, Ted Lasso is just like constantly using an iPhone. Can we get the boys some Eero routers? Like, they need Wi-Fi.
I haven't had that conversation yet, but you know.
You should. Yeah. That's my only suggestion.
Okay.
We're going to have more about Thread, but that's my real one.
It's coming, yeah. I guess a lot of talk about getting stuff out to customers. You have, people who maybe don't know, you don't just sell to like consumers on Amazon. You've got like an ISP business. You're partnering with actual internet service providers. How's that going?
Yeah, that's been a huge part of our business. So over the last year, our Eero networks that get deployed by our ISP customers have increased over 75%. And that's just because customers want faster speeds. When they get faster speeds, they want faster Wi-Fi, and they want coverage everywhere. Mm. So we've announced deals with TalkTalk in the UK, Mediacom, here in New York, and it's been really exciting taking, you know, really great internet connectivity plans, bundling them with Eeros, and then delivering this like great internet experience to customers. Like, that is what we are trying to do each and every day. We want the internet in people's homes to just work.
Yeah.
And working really closely with internet service providers is a really big part of our business.
Is that going to be a bigger part of your business than selling direct to consumers?
Over time, we'll see. You know, we sell a lot of Eero's on, with retail partners like Best Buy, Costco.
That's good. And then mentioned the other ones before. You've been like, and
Amazon. And then on Amazon.com.
Hulking Goliath in the corner.
Yeah. We also sell it on Eero.com.
Actually, when you think about, like, where is it growing? We are going to talk about Thread and Smart Home.
It's coming.
But when you... We've made you wait for the punishment. but when you think about, okay, my cable company is going to put an Eero in my house. Cable companies have historically weird ideas about configuration and stuff like that. When you start to add the capabilities, are they getting in your way? Will they get in my way? Like, I want to turn on Thread, or I want to use some of the Eero features that you've deployed. Are they leaving that stuff alone? Do you have to talk to them, or do you have to negotiate? Like, the classic example I would use is cell phones and carriers.
Yep.
We have an entire exhibit to a cell phone that was destroyed by carriers that Dieter made a documentary about. Like, is that something that's happening to you, too?
So, Eero devices across the globe, regardless of where they were bought or where they're coming from, all run the exact same software. They all talk to the same app. You have the same controls. So for customers, if you get your Eero from your local ISP or you buy it from Eero.com, you're going to have the same experience.
And you're committed to that? You're never going to white label it? You're never going to let ISP mess with it?
We think really tight integration between hardware, software, and delivering that same experience works really well for customers, and that's how we've built the company, built the business, and we're going to continue to do that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have a little bit more from the CEO of Eero, Nick Weaver.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. Here's the story of innovation told in 5 words. Try. Explore. Connect, pivot, transform. See what happened there? As soon as Connect entered the story, innovation became achievable. That's why Deloitte works with clients and tech alliances to bring together the people, ideas, and technologies to overcome, solve, and of course, transform. Connect to what matters for innovation. Start at Deloitte.com/US/innovate.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Constant Contact. If you're a business owner, you already know that it's really, really hard to cut through the noise of everyday life. If you want to connect with your customers, you need to break through the noise. You need Constant Contact. Constant Contact is a marketing platform that makes it easy to reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and connect over email, text, social media, and more. Whether you're a marketing guru or just learning the ropes, Constant Contact offers writing assistance tools and automation features that make it simple to say the right thing at the right time. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod.
If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, we're back with more of our interview from the On the Verge event with the CEO of Eero, Nick Weaver.
Okay, so I promised we were going to fix smart home, and it was not going to be confusing anymore. But before we do, I want you to pull out your phone.
Sure.
And we're going to look at our Eero networks. Oh, Neil, no. You too.
Oh, boy.
And we are all going to
find
the most embarrassing thing currently connected to our smart home, and we're going to cop to it and explain why we have it. So this is really good radio. You're watching us scroll on our phones here. I knew this was coming, so I'll just tell you. The most embarrassing thing on my network is Lisa, that's my spouse, Mega, I don't know what Mega means, smart plug, ? I don't know what it is, neither does she, but we are too afraid to turn it off because we think it controls something important.
That's good.
Yeah. It's a 2.4, and it's made by a company called Espressif.
That's
just
got a
spyware,
card.
Dog. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
So maybe someone's spying on me, yeah. What do you got?
Mine is extremely dumb. It is also a plug.
Okay.
I know what it does. It turns the subwoofer in our living room off. Because often when we are Vergecasting, my daughter Max is watching Paw Patrol, and there are at least two episodes of our show where you can hear the thump of the Paw Patrol theme song like coming from right above us. So I put the subwoofer on a plug and I turn it off before we podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I turn it back on. It's because like she's not like, I don't know, the bass response to the show. But I always turn it back on.
I think for me, it's just like the long list of devices in the home category. We have air quality sensors. We have air purifiers because we're in Northern California.
Yeah.
I have ceiling fans. I have the ceiling fan controller. We have an oven. And then we have a bunch of hubs I've been trying out to see if they do anything. It's been been a lot, like a very long project.
Do you have a HomeKit bridge?
I do have a Hoobs box.
Yeah, we got three of them on stage. I feel like, but it's we're like, you know, we're outside the system. You admitting that you have a Hoobs box is like, all right, it's
I've been experimenting. It's an interesting experience. Very hard to configure.
If you don't know, Hoobs is it's a thing you can buy, but the actual software is called HomeBridge, and it just bridges everything into HomeKit. So like your Ring camera show up in HomeKit. Dieter and I have very different experiences with it. I'm like, it's great. And Dieter's like, why did you make me do this? You're a horrible monster and a bad friend. I think it's great. But we've heard like lots of Apple engineers have this thing running. And like to me, that brings us right to where we're going, which is it's crazy that like a bunch of Europeans like ship everybody Raspberry Pis to make their smart homes work, but that is the current state of things. You're working on fixing it. How's it going?
Well, you know, our whole thesis at Eero, why we started the company, everything in our homes is going to be connected to the internet. And ultimately, our homes are going to run on a computer. And so our vision has always been, you need to have a network to enable that. And that computer and that network are probably going to converge into the same thing. But there's a first really important step, and that is having super fast, reliable connectivity everywhere. Today, that's primarily Wi-Fi. Over time, it's going to continue to be, you know, you need low power, you need long range. There's a bunch of different flavors of connectivity that this home of the future needs, and actually the home of today needs too, to get all these devices connected. And once they're connected, and it's as reliable as our running water and our power, then you can start layering on control, intelligence, and you know, all the other things
sure.
that we are trying to make happen today.
So there's two big things happening. One, there's this industry group called Matter, which is Apple, Google, Amazon.
Formerly like, Chip.
Formerly Choip.
My t-shirt that says We Matter raises a lot of questions. Yeah. Right? It's a great name.
It's a connected home over IP. The idea is that gadgets should have like simpler, easier networking that works more like over IP. So that's like one thing that's happening, and you're involved in that. But then the other thing is there's like the radio called Thread, which you have been promising is going to matter and be a big deal for quite
Since
a while
the
now.
Since the first day I met you.
Yeah.
Like Nick's, he was like a startup founder, and he's like, I made this great router, and like we had great conversations like early on, like we loved startups. And we were like, what is this radio? And he's like, this is going to be a big deal. And that was in 2017.
Yes.
June
of 2017.
Yeah, you're like, you got it. And like it was Apple's going to support it and Google's, and they kind of are now, but it's still in its infancy. So why that dip, and is it going to happen?
So, you know, what's interesting about Thread, so it's a 15.4 radio. And what it does is it acts very much like Wi-Fi. Just says, hey, I'm going to create a network. I'm going to let devices connect to it. We're going to talk IP. Let you send packets, and I'm just going to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's really simple, like Wi-Fi. But it's built for low-power devices. It's got great range, great on terms of reliability. And then, you know, it can mesh, so you can easily extend coverage throughout the network.
Yeah, this sounds wonderful.
It's great.
Are there any gadgets that I could connect to this wonderful network?
So I think
just a Nanoleaf, dude. You can get some gamer lights. Come on.
Yeah.
So I think with Matter, there's a shot that all of this comes together. There's so many different ecosystems. There's mm-hmm. Z-Wave. There's Zigbee.
Have you ever been to the Z-Wave Alliance building?
I haven't.
Okay. If anyone knows if that building is shaped like a Z, please let me know. Like, if your organization is called the Z-Wave Alliance and you don't find a Z-shaped building to be in, like, you're not going to succeed.
Okay. But like fundamentally, the question is like, what's taking so long for Thread? If it's such a great technology, what's taken so long? We're living in this incredibly fragmented smart home world. Thread seems like a potentially good solution, but there's too many standards. We've got to make a new standard. Why isn't?
I think it just these things just take a long time. Imagine for us, for a lot of people in this room, like we've been doing connected home things for a very long time. When you look at just the average customer, that stuff is still, it's just starting. And now that there's, you know, voice control layers that make things easier to control, you don't have to do a bunch of custom programming on a home automation system. We're starting to get there. And then it's the chicken or the egg problem. Like, you have to have enough base station support for it so that devices can connect. And then you also need enough devices to move everything together. And that.
I'll push you there. Like, I've got a bunch of Eero's in my house.
Yep.
They support Thread. I could turn them on. Apple is into Thread. The HomePod Mini is a Thread router. But they won't talk to each other yet, right? Like, the Eero's are not HomeKit compatible. And then if I want to add a handful of Thread devices, they actually still need a HomePod Mini or an Apple TV, and they won't talk to the Eero. Like, how, are you solving that? Are you going to talk to Apple? Are you going to be HomeKit? Well, is that something Apple needs to do?
I think that's where Matter starts to become interesting. You're going to have these profiles for all the different devices. It's independent of how the devices are connecting. We have the Eero Pro 6, the 6, the Eero Pro, and the Eero Beacon are all Thread border routers. You can turn that on today. I've got Nanoleaf bulbs that connect via Thread to my
Eero
network.
What's the first nerd product we should do? It's like gamer lights.
Yes.
And like everybody has them.
So I think it's been slower than I certainly would have liked, but it feels like it is gaining momentum and starting to finally move in the right direction.
So you're kind of in the middle of it. Do you see that, and I recognize that this is what Matter is supposed to solve, but I see Apple saying, we still kind of want our system to win, and Google wants that, and Amazon obviously wants that. And the incentives are not aligned, right? Like, if you buy everything that's Alexa compatible, that's probably better for Amazon than if everything works with all three systems and you can mix and match. How do you align those incentives, and how do you manage it in the middle?
Well, so Eero devices, they're going to support Matter over Thread. That is something we are doing, and we're excited about that. And personally, I think customers win when their devices work with however they want to control them. And so that's what we are trying to enable, trying to make sure any device can connect to our network and communicate wherever it needs to. Just talks IP, just like all their Wi-Fi devices do today.
We've got a few more questions, but if y'all have questions about how to configure your network, please don't come to the mics,
because you've
got other
questions. Wi-Fi for you.
There's mics on either side of the room, and so you can start lining
up there.
Unplug
it and plug it right back in.
I mean, that is...
Well, actually, the first time we talked, Nick told me that he got the idea for Eero because he'd put his parents' Wi-Fi setup on a power strip, and he had like a fix-it button that just turned the power strip on.
Yeah, internet reset button, power strip, big red button, and you could hit that. And then V1 of automation was, you got one of those old school rotary timers.
And then just once a day it would click over?
It hits like 2:02
yeah.
AM and just power cycles the whole thing.
There was, remember the Kabo? I always know that an Android-based product is like, gonna run into some troubles when it has like a built-in restart feature that's like, just I'm gonna reset myself every night. So good. All right.
So what's next for Thread with Eero? Like, you say you're gonna support Matter. Is there anything else you're doing? Anything else you're gonna push?
For us right now, it's just how do we get as much coverage, Thread coverage out there as possible? You know, our devices support Zigbee, Thread, Bluetooth, and obviously Wi-Fi. And yep. we're just trying to add as many Eeros out there as possible so that we can have that low power coverage that customers are going to need if they don't need already.
So next year, Matter is going to matter, you think?
I think it's everything is trending in the right direction. We were a little early in 2017. I don't want to be that early again, yeah. But it does feel different this time. Yeah. It feels like there's just a lot of momentum. Device manufacturers are starting to really reevaluate their roadmaps. Mm-hmm. And also the silicon out there supports all this stuff natively. So it can support Zigbee, or it can support Thread, or it can support Bluetooth,
right,
all on the same chip.
So people aren't going to need to.
And so it's just a, a software setting. So we finally are starting to get the infrastructure down to the silicon level to make all this stuff happen.
Right.
Okay. All right, but you told me you read the subreddit.
I do.
You admitted this to me backstage. The man wakes up, the CEO, and then reads the subreddit, which is just masochistic, but I appreciate
you. The comment section is real.
Yeah. I know that subreddit wants to know if you're going to support HomeKit and Thread. Are you going to do it?
We are doing everything we can to support Thread. How HomeKit fits into it, like, we're just going to have to see how that evolves here over the next little bit.
Fair enough. Questions?
Hey, so huge fan. I went from an airport to an Eero, and I feel like that's probably a pretty common path for a lot of people in this room. Your first generation of products is now probably about 5 years old, and as other companies have had to deal with recently, life cycling and supporting them over the over time of computers living in your home that are really, really critical to your experience there is going to be a real challenge. What is your strategy for keeping those things useful for as long as possible?
Well, that is our strategy. We are trying to keep the products as safe, secure, and reliable as possible for as long as we feasibly can. And so that means continuing to run regression tests on all of our first generation Eeros, standing behind them if customers are having problems. Part of that too, like, we do want to encourage customers to upgrade over the years. To get faster speeds, more reliability. Frankly, we've gotten a lot better at building these products as we've learned over the last seven, almost 8 years. But again, our primary goal is just keep delivering that great internet experience to our earliest supporters, and most importantly, keeping the devices secure, because running the network is a lot of responsibility. We take that really seriously.
Do you have a number in mind in terms of years? We're like, okay, no more. We can't support this anymore.
We're going to try to support them as long as we possibly can. You do run into practical limits. If a Wi-Fi router is running more than 5 to 7 years, it's not going to perform the same way a new device will. You're going to it'll slowly start degrading, just because the duty cycle on these things is they're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're always sending packets. So it is something you don't need to upgrade your network every year or even every 2 years, but it is something you should think about upgrading every 3 to 5 to 6 years. Okay. Because it's one of the most important devices in our home.
We've got time for one, maybe two more, but please keep it quick.
Let's see. All right, so I got a smart home question for you. So we have Z-Wave, which has obviously been around for quite a while, and it has that standardized protocol and radio layer. So where does Thread and Matter succeed where Z-Wave doesn't? Like, what went wrong with Z-Wave? Because it is ubiquitous. There's lots of devices, but we don't really see it dominating the smart home.
Well, they spent all their money on a building shaped like a Z.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
So I think part of it is really separating the profile of the device and the connectivity layer. So it's removing like profiles and not having specific profiles for each device. So what Thread's really trying to do is separate that out, where any device can connect to the network, send packets. It can then use a Matter profile if it wants. It can extend a Matter profile, or it can, you know, use whatever application layer makes sense for that device. So it's really about separating things and making it easier for device manufacturers to build devices, deploy them, and leverage, you know, that means of connectivity. Another thing is it's about the like RF usage within the device. And so what's great about 15.4 is it's running in 2.4 gigahertz. So it reduces the amount of RF you have to deal with in the, you know, in the router, you know, for us, so that, you know, you're not having to deal with all these different frequencies and paying that like per chip cost in 3 or 4 or 5 units or however many units you have on your Eero network.
Well, I think on that incredibly nerdy answer, that's a perfect place to end talking about routers. So everybody, Nick Weaver.
Yeah, thanks.
That's great.
All right, my thanks to Nick Weaver for coming on the Vergecast, talking to us about Eero and Thread and the future of the smart home. And my thanks to you for listening to this episode. And you know what? It's been a minute since we've asked for this. If you could head over to, you know, it's Apple Podcasts. That's a place to do reviews. Go over there, give us a review and a rating. Really appreciate that. It really does help the show out. This week's Vergecast was produced by myself, Andrew Marino, and Liam James. We are going to be taking the rest of the week off for the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be back next week with an extra special episode that I think you're going to like. And then the following week, we'll have that Matter episode and the chat show and so on and so on. If you got any feedback about these Tuesday episodes, I'd really appreciate to hear that as well. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Backlon. Or, you know, you can email me. It's not a hard email to guess. It's just Dieter@theverge.com. All right. Have a good holiday for celebrating and stay safe.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.